Yo, what's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Buzzer Beaters. I am Eddie Aparicio. This is my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and we are brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us on GremlingsMedia.com, as well as any other popular podcast outlets that you can think of, such as X, Facebook, Pandora, YouTube, you name it, we're there. Just call out Buzzer Beaters, right? Anyway, this is episode 42. This is your first time.
This is our Ronnie Lott episode, man.
Yeah, we're only 8 away from 50, and, you know, our producers want us to do something special, so we're going to figure something out. Maybe bring a guest. I don't know, man. But we'll
maybe we can have Stephen A. Smith battle LeBron.
Oh, LeBron live, dude. That would be hilarious, dude. Dude, they have been battling, dude. Amazing. Amazing, man. I know. It's crazy, man. But anyway, so if this is your first time, what Tuan and I do typically is we cover about 3 to 4 topics usually per week or per episode with the intent of going an hour each show. We have been getting closer to an hour lately, but we have been going over quite a bit. So, but for this week, what we're going to go ahead and cover, we have 4 topics we're going to cover. The first one is going to be the NBA playoff race. We only have about 10 games left for each of the conferences. We're going to go into each of those conferences, talk a little bit about like who we think is going to be, you know, in or out, and, you know, because really, realistically, the East is pretty much established as far as the seedings, right? As far as, like, the teams, but not initially the seedings. Whereas the West, that's completely different. I mean, there's still, like, 12 to 13 teams still alive for, you know, play-in or playoff spots, right? But we'll go ahead and cover that. The second topic we're going to go ahead and cover is something that we talked about a week ago is, or 2 weeks ago, was we did a Mount Rushmore. A topic that was actually widely viewed, actually. And I think a lot of, like I said earlier, the audience likes to have review lists. They like to see it. It makes for good banter, good discussion, right? So what we're going to go ahead and do is we're going to continue the Mount Rushmore topic, but we're going to go ahead and cover some other categories, which we'll go ahead and, when we get there, we'll cover it. And then the third one is, we also, last week we did a brackets live, right? We did, the NCAA March Madness brackets are, you know, the whole March Madness is alive and well. And, Tuan picked his own bracket. I picked my own bracket. And then the Cisco kids did a combined bracket where we decided to go ahead and settle any dispute with the player from each of those schools that had played in the NBA or plays in the NBA that we thought would be the best candidate to essentially be the better player of the other in order to decide which team we're going to go ahead and select in our shared bracket for the Cisco kids. So we're going to go ahead and go over that and see how we're doing. It'll probably be a pretty quick segment. And then the last one is the conference seedings and rookie standings update, which we haven't.
I don't want to see that one, Eddie.
It's pretty bad, man. But we'll go ahead and cover we're almost done. It's only like, you know, a few more weeks to go for this thing, man. We're almost there. But
Buscelli's going to score 1,000 points in his last game.
Right. Yeah, I know. But anyway, before we get going, man, how you been, man? What's going on? What happened over the last week for you, bro?
I've been good. You know, just watching a little March Madness over the weekend. I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. My daughter's going to be hanging out at the house here. She was living down in L.A., so she's going to be living up here for the next couple of months. So that's exciting. Went to a cheese festival in Sonoma over the weekend. That was kind of interesting, just trying cheese and a bunch of liquor they had and some chocolate martinis they had.
Chocolate martinis, not espresso martinis, but chocolate martinis.
They called them chocolate martinis. So
interesting, man.
You know, they had a bunch of stuff going on there. So that was kind of cool. How about you?
How were the chocolate martinis? Let me ask you that.
They were, I didn't have one, but they looked all right. I did have some apple cider.
Like the hard apple cider.
So you have to forgive me. I'm not a big expert. I had mead, which I don't know how that's different than beer.
Okay. What's it called again?
Mead. M-E-A-D-E. It's a liquor of some sort.
I've never heard of that, man.
So I had one. I don't remember the name of the company, but the type of mead it was called Skyborn. It was the weirdest thing, Eddie. I drank it, and it tasted like ice-cold, hot buttered popcorn.
That sounds kind of weird.
It was weird, but I liked it.
Like, I think over time, I mean, once you get over the shock of the initial,
it was
after
refreshing.
A while, you're like, yeah, it was
good. I enjoyed it actually quite a bit. And then the girls really liked the apple cider, a company called Gowans. I don't know. I'm probably butchering it. But they had like a rosé and one like 1876 one. And so it was pretty good stuff. So we did that, had some cheese, you know, ate some food. And then we hit up our new favorite. So I'm from the city and you're from the city. Yep. And forever, my whole life. I'm going to ask you about that here in a minute.
But yeah, I'll tell you about it. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, my whole life, whenever, you know, they talk about ice cream, it's Mitchell's.
Oh, yeah, Mitchell's for sure. But it's Mitchell's like, it depends on the region of San Francisco you live in. Because
Correct.
Playing different
Correct. But for me, it's always been Mitchell's. I have my mango milkshake at Mitchell's. I freaking love Mitchell's. But we tried this new spot called Smitten's. It's a company that's only been – it's only been around for, I don't want to say like maybe 5-6 years. I don't really know. It's kind of newer. Dude, right. Eddie, it is damn good ice cream.
Oh, is it really?
Damn good ice cream. Like, every time I drive by Mitchell's, I got to like look away, dude, from shame.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is that the spots in San Francisco that are known are the one, you know, the aforementioned Mitchell's. Another one that's actually been around for a long time, and I went there when I was going to high school, was Polly Ann's ice cream.
Yes.
That's over there in the Sunset. That's actually a pretty well-known one. Double Rainbow is another
Double
one.
Rainbow. Buds ice cream.
Buds is another one. Yeah. And there's a kind of relatively newer one, but not necessarily that new, but it's Humphrey Slocum was another one that was around.
I'm not a fan of that one.
Okay. Honest, it's actually not bad. And then there was another one. Let me see. By Right is another one that a lot of people rave about as well. So, but anyway,
So they got one on Valencia.
Yep.
I want to say maybe it's right off Liberty Street. I think that might be between 17th and 18th or 16th and 17th, somewhere there. So I would try it. And they also have one at Santana Row over in San Jose.
I was just there yesterday, man.
Yeah, they have one there at Santana Row as well. If you like ice cream, dude, it is hella creamy. It's pretty good. So for those of you out there that are listening that are in the Bay Area, I would highly recommend you at least try it. I don't like to blow things out of proportion because then, you know, people will be like, Twan's crazy. This ain't better than Mitchell. You know, and maybe I am, but it's pretty damn good.
You're right, man.
What's a trip, Eddie? I'll just tell you what's a trip is when you order it, they make it there right on the spot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like freshly made ice cream.
Oh, that's kind of a trip.
Yeah. Apparently the lady who started it, she developed this little machine and she had a little radio flyer wagon and she would just walk up and down Mission in Valencia and make the ice cream for people and sell it right there. And then it got so popular that she got a storefront and now she's got like 7 or 8 of those machines in the store and you order it and they make it and they give it to you.
Is it like a really long wait because they
I mean the ice cream I think is ready in like a minute and a half. So
it's still a wait, man.
Yeah, but the line isn't like Mitchell's yet, right? So when you go to Mitchell's, anyone that knows that, like you're waiting.
It's always crowded. No matter what time of the year and no matter what weather.
Yeah, no, the colder the line is longer, it seems like.
Yeah, it's true.
But anyway, I did want to ask you about you're wearing a Lincoln sweatshirt.
You're an old
SI boy, but you're wearing a
Lincoln sweatshirt. Yeah, so anyway, real quick, because you mentioned that we, you know, Santana Row, the ice cream place. So one thing that I failed to say in the beginning of my intro is that we are usually live. Now, we were intending to be live last night, but dude, like the last few weeks, man, my work has gotten in the way. And yesterday, you know, we had a manager that flew into town and just kind of on a last minute thing, kind of to set up a dinner for all of us to kind of talk. Right. So I can't move that. Okay. So I had to kind of
That pays the bills.
Yeah. So I had to go ahead and tell the producers of this show is that, you know, we're going to have to record this week, man. And I'm sorry that just, you know, work's gotten in the way the last few weeks and I can hear your dog in the back. Yeah. But anyway, so that's the reason why we couldn't go live. But we're here live every Wednesday, usually 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, here on any podcast outlet you can think of, Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, any of those. Just go ahead and make sure that you look us up. We're there usually on every Wednesday. But this one will come out tomorrow, Friday. We're recording right now on Thursday. But the Lincoln thing. All right. So my brother-in-law, Mike, he actually is the head wrestling coach at Lincoln High School. And interesting enough, my brother-in-law, Mike, he was a well-known wrestler back in his day at Reardon High School. And Reardon High School was a pretty legitimate wrestling program, or has one. I think still might have it, but maybe not as renowned as it was. Anyway, he went to go ahead and coach the Lincoln High School team. And has been there, I think this is his fourth year.
Oh, that's
third or
cool.
Fourth year, right? But what's interesting, bro, is that Lincoln, they had their first wrestling championship for the city 2 years ago, right?
Okay.
First time it's ever in their history that they've had it.
And so his second year there, he took
the
championship. Okay.
Correct. Right. And then now this past year, they won it again. So he's back-to-back city champ, right? So, it's actually the other reputable school for wrestling is actually your old alma mater, Sacred Heart.
Sacred Heart.
So they're kind of getting up there to compete potentially with Sacred Heart, and that's what he's trying to do for maybe next year. So he has these sweatshirts. I thought they were kind of tight looking, you know.
Yeah.
You see the little Bronco here, Lincoln.
That's cool, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, hey, man, let me get that. So I got it. So I've been wearing it. It's warm and it's nice. And, I want to kind of tot them up a little bit too.
Yeah.
So anyway, real quick, before we get into this stuff,
yep.
You asked me how I did. So last week after this episode that we did our live bracket, right, episode 41, I went ahead and drove out to Reno. And, bro, let me tell you, man, I looked at the forecast even the day before, and it was clear skies. And then as I was driving up there, and, dude, let me tell you something, man, I normally wouldn't do this, but my Tesla was telling me to go ahead and pull over to go ahead and charge before I go, because I needed probably 5 or 10 more minutes of charge to kind of make it there. With, a decent percentage left, right?
Yep.
So, luckily, I listened to my intuition, right? Because I did pull over. I went ahead and did it. Charged for, 10 minutes max. And then went on my way. As I was getting closer to the mountains, bro, all of a sudden it started kind of raining a little bit. And I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, I hope it just stays like this, dude. And then all of a sudden, bro, a rainstorm from hell showed up. And, bro, we live in California. Tahoe is probably our main exposure to snow, right?
Yep.
But, dude, I have an electric vehicle, a Tesla, right? And I drove this thing, and all of a sudden, dude, this huge whiteout snowstorm happened. And it was scary, bro, because I'm driving in this Tesla with no chains because I had no idea how it was going to do, right? And, of course, when batteries get kind of cold, you don't know how it's going to react, right?
Yep.
But I didn't know if it was going to discharge really quickly or not. It was maintaining, but I was driving, 25 miles an hour in this snowstorm. And, dude, My windshield was fogging up so bad that I had to hunch over like this to kind of keep looking ahead. And the visibility was really bad because the snow was kind of swaying back and forth. I probably could see no more than 50 feet in front of me, bro, for a while. And the only way I can kind of keep my bearings straight is by looking at the taillights in front of me, right? So I drove intentionally slow because I didn't know what to do. This is my first time going through it, but I wanted people to pass me up so I know where I'm at, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm driving, bro, and I'm looking to my left, looking to my right, and I'm like, making sure I'm not going over any cliffs, right? I mean, luckily they have some guardrails there, but still, you can't really stop as you're going through this. You have to keep going, bro, because you can get hit from behind, and the last thing you want to do is get stuck, right? Because there's no reception up there, bro. You have your cell phone, and you're freezing up there, and what are you going to do, right?
Yep.
You're screwed,
yep.
Right? You're going to fly people down. People aren't going to pick you up, man. They're like, I'm out, right? Anyway, so I made it through, bro, but I was driving for about an hour and some change, about 25 miles per hour in the mountains. And then when I finally got out of the mountains, it started subsiding, and I just made it through, man. But it took me about 4.5 hours to drive there, when it normally usually could take us about 3 to 3.5 hours to get there from where I live, right?
So
that was pretty hairy.
An hour and a half longer, yep.
Yep, so I made it through, and so what we did, and by the way, so this is another thing that we did, and I'll tell the audience that we did, is that what my brother-in-law, myself, and another buddy, and there's two other buddies that we do this, we started kind of doing this draft for the tournament, right?
Yeah.
So, we draw straws or draw numbers, and then we have just four of us, and we pick four players, and then one of my friends, he goes ahead and puts a bunch of names on the board. And then we draft players like we do for our rookie fantasy league. So what we do is we draft for the tournament and we pick players. Of course, I had the number one pick. I got lucky with that. I got Cooper Flagg, right?
Yep.
But anyway, you pick all these players and I'm tallying up all the points. And then we're kind of seeing who's ahead. I'm right now ahead because Cooper Flagg did well. And then John Tonji of what team is that? Anyway, I forgot the name of the school, but they got ousted. And I might have been Wisconsin, but anyway, so I'm ahead of that, and it's fun because then it kind of keeps you engaged with the entire thing. And of course, they're all in my brackets pool too, so we're all competing against that. Yep. We're gonna go over our brackets too because that's something else that's part of our agenda. But anyway, that was my night that night when I got to Reno, and then the rest of the time, like I said, next year you're gonna be doing this. We're gonna go ahead and hang out and do this thing for the weekend. It's fun. You're gonna have a blast.
As long as I'm driving in whiteout conditions, I guess.
Dude, that was brutal, bro. Brutal, man. So, but anyway, bro, let's get into it, bro, right? So, let's get into it. So, let's go ahead and talk about the NBA playoffs, all right? So, last week when we went ahead and started, we only talked about the NCAA tournament. We didn't talk about the NBA at all because we wanted to dedicate it completely to the NCAA tournament because that's what was dominant at the time, right? Correct. So now we're coming back, right? Because the NCAA tournament, it's all about the first weekend, really, really, right? It's kind of like madness. But then, you know, the games are going on right now, and, you know, they're going to continue going on through the weekend, and then the Final Four will happen next weekend, and then the championship and so forth. So, but anyway, we're going to go ahead and cover the East and the West. Right now, as you look at the standings right now, in the East, we'll cover the East first, bro, right? So, essentially the top 10 are pretty much established. The 10 teams that are going to be either in the playoffs or the play-in, that's determined, right? But what we don't know are where they're going to fall, right, as far as seedings, right? So, you know that right now the guys that differentiated themselves in the East are essentially the top two teams in the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics, right? They've already clinched. One of them clinched the home field. The other one's clinched, you know, a playoff spot, right?
Yeah.
But so let's go ahead and talk about some of the right now the Knicks are the number three team, and they're followed by the Pacers. They're only 1.5 games behind the Knicks at that point. And then the Pistons, the surprising Pistons, are 3.5 games behind the Knicks as far as the three seed. And then you have the Bucks at the sixth seed at 5 games out of the Knicks.
They stopped,
So they have dropped. And the thing is, you know, Damian Lillard is hurt, or he's now out indefinitely because his blood clots, thrombosis in his leg, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's serious. I mean, because you know, it's not something that you kind of take lightly. I mean, that's just kind of they shut down Victor Wembanyama for the same thing, right? And we all know Chris Bosh essentially, you know, his career was cut short because of that, right? So which is kind of scary. I mean, because these guys are conditioned athletes, and then this thing's happening. It's like, man, it's like makes you wonder, like, what the hell? It's got to be genetic, man. But anyway, so the Bucks are falling right now, right? The Pistons are rising. The Pacers have been playing really, really well, right?
Correct.
So let me ask you this. By the way, the Pacers, they scored 162 points tonight, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I did not see that score. Are you serious?
Yeah, they scored 162 points tonight, bro. Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Poor Jordan Poole got punished.
Yeah, he did. It was against the Wizards. Yeah. So you know, but the Pacers are hot, man, because they've gone 8-2 in their last 10. And I think that they're going to catch the Knicks because the Knicks, they're missing Jalen Brunson, bro. And Jalen Brunson's been out for quite some time, and they definitely miss that guy, right? Tom Thibodeau had to lean on his bench right now, and he's probably like going, man, I haven't used these guys all season. I got to use them now, right? But
plus, his starters, we mentioned this last week. Some of his starters are asking for more rest. They think they're playing too much. And, I mentioned this last year during the playoffs, and, you know, and I was concerned about it this year in the playoffs. He runs his starters ragged, man.
Big time.
And they've been losing. Like, I've been watching a lot of, like, the top-tier games, and they lost against most of the top-tier teams here in the last couple of weeks. They've been losing quite a bit of games against the better half of the league.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. But what's interesting with the Pacers, right, I looked at their schedule. They have 9 games left. 4 of them are with above 500 teams, okay?
Okay.
So, they have probably, I think, an inside track because right now the Knicks are kind of flailing a little bit, right? They have, of their 10 remaining games, 4 of them are above 500. So they have a pretty reasonably easy schedule relative, right? They're both about the same. But the Knicks are sorely missing probably their best player in Jalen Brunson.
Correct.
Right. So I think the Pacers might catch the Knicks for the number three spot. And I think even the Pistons, because the Pistons are only 2 games behind the Pacers, right? And they're in the 5 spot right now, and they could easily go to the 4. And I could possibly see the Knicks continue to fall, right? So it's feasible to see the Knicks go to 5 rather than right now what we thought they would be the number 3 seed right now. So So what are you seeing, bro?
So one thing I'm seeing, interestingly enough, you know, they built up a really good cushion, but they've been losing a little more frequently than that's the Cleveland Cavaliers. I believe, I want to say that even last time we looked, they had close, I think they had a double-digit lead in terms of games ahead of Boston. I want to say they were like 11 games ahead of Boston, and now they're 5 games ahead of Boston, which is that's quite a jump. And you don't want to be losing steam right around this part of the season.
No, I agree. I agree.
And so I've been very supportive of Cleveland, and I expect them to do well, but that raised a little bit of eyebrows with me. I mean, I'm just like, okay, you guys can't be flailing here towards the end because Boston's no joke, and you've held tight. You think Boston's going to come out of the East?
Oh, yeah,
they probably are, but
I think so.
But you know, that's looking more likelihood right now based on how Cleveland has been losing.
Yeah, and the thing is that you know Boston now has Porzingis back. Old man Horford is back. Jason Tatum actually is the only one that's kind of. You know, he sprained his ankle recently, so I don't think it's that serious. But the team is just so deep, man.
Yeah.
They're probably going to have the sixth man of the year in Peyton Pritchard, right? They're just – and the thing is, like we are brought up before, they live and die by the three, but they're good at it, man. They're good at – every one of those guys can shoot.
Correct. Right?
So that's the way that they've seen themselves get beat by the Warriors, and they're just trying to do – better than what the Warriors had done historically, right? So, because they're 5 men out, whereas the Warriors weren't like that. There were probably 2 to 3 people out shooting threes, whereas these guys are 5 people and more shooting threes all the time. So, but they can live and die by it, man. But I still think they're the team to beat, man.
I agree. And as I look at the landscape here, you know, obviously Boston's a contender for Cleveland. Indiana, if they continue the hot streak, they could. Detroit's a tough squad, man.
They are
They play hard deep. They're going to be a rough out. Milwaukee's been up and down all year, and then everybody below that point. Orlando just hasn't found its offense. Atlanta, you know, they've always just been eh. And then Chicago and Miami are complete pretenders. I mean, if they were in the West, they wouldn't even be in the playoffs.
No, I agree. Yeah. But you know what? I got to give it to the Hawks. The Hawks have been playing well lately, man. Right now, they're right now the seventh seed. I don't think they're going to catch, you know, the Bucks. I mean, there's a possibility they could because they're not that far – behind. Let me see if I can see that they're standing.
They're about 6.5 games behind. So
behind the Bucks,
five and a half games of the Bucks. Yeah, I don't think they'll catch them. I mean, there's like 9 or 10 games, so I don't think.
They won't catch them. So you know, realistically, they're essentially pretty much fighting to stay in the seventh seed right now, with the Magic essentially kind of being their biggest threat with only a game behind. Although the Magic lost tonight, so you know they lost a half a game. I think the Hawks, I think they were playing, or I don't know if they were playing tonight, but I know that they were, I think they were playing tonight. But
yeah, the Heat beat the Hawks 120.
Okay, the Heat beat the Hawks. The one game advantage is still there for them over the Magic. So the Heat picked up a game then. They're only 3 out of the Hawks now. So, but anyway, the Bulls have been playing well lately too. They're playing the Lakers tonight.
I believe they won.
Jeez, Ross. Man, I'm telling you, this is getting – this. The Bulls are kind of playing good at the right time.
They won by 2 points, 119-117.
They're going to be a problem because they're gelling right now, man, which is interesting because Josh Giddey – what's interesting about Josh Giddey, bro, when we talked about the trade between, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Chicago Bulls and, you know, when Caruso went over to the Oklahoma City Thunder, we thought, oh, my God, they just fleeced. They just fleeced the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
And then Josh Giddey, dude, all of a sudden, he became a beast of a player, man. Like, he is
– maybe he right now, opportunity.
What's interesting is, I think – I don't know what the time frame is, but he has become one of the best three-point shooters right now. And that was his biggest Achilles heel, which is why the big reason why he got traded, man.
Yeah.
Because people were sagging off of him because he couldn't shoot. And now, all of a sudden, he's shooting. And he's a big matchup problem because he's a big, tall dude, and he's a good distributor. But now if he can shoot, man.
It's going to be a problem. Yeah.
It's going to be a problem, right? So the Bulls are a team to watch, man, in my opinion. So, but that's it. As far as, you know, these are the teams. Right now it's just going to be between, you know, it's just they're jockeying for position right now, bro.
Yeah, I mean, the only two teams that, I mean, obviously Brooklyn, Charlotte, and the Wizards are all eliminated. The only two that even have a remote chance is the Raptors and the Sixers. And the Sixers are 8 games out of contention, which 10 games remaining, they're not.
Yeah, there's no way, man. They have no shot.
Toronto's 5 games. I highly doubt it. So I think in the East, we've got the 10 that are going to be in the playoffs.
Correct.
Like, I think there's no doubt it's going to be those 10. Now it's just a matter of jockeying for some position. Like Chicago and Miami are a game apart. Atlanta and Orlando are half a game apart. You know, so I think some of that is going to matter. If the Pacers, like you said, can catch the Knicks, that's going to be tough. But if they can catch them, that's 2.5 games spread there. So, right. You know, that's going to be a little difficult. But, yeah, I think the ones we have are going to be, you know, in the top two are going to stay 1-2. Cleveland, I don't think Cleveland's going to lose, like, that many games going forward. So they'll probably have the one seed.
Yeah, for sure. But that's the East is pretty much settled. Now the West, let's go parlay into the West, man.
All right.
So right now, you know, we look at the top team right now is the Oklahoma City Thunder, but everybody else after that, you know, there's a lot of jockeying for position right now, right?
Yep.
The Rockets are the number two seed right now, and they won again tonight. The Nuggets, you know, are essentially 1.5 games behind them. Lakers lost, so they are going to lose some ground. The Grizzlies, I think, are playing. They're playing OKC tonight. I don't know if they won or lost. I haven't looked.
Memphis lost to the Thunder.
So there you go. They're slipping right now, bro. So like if you look at the Rockets, okay. Let's I'm gonna go ahead and I did a little bit of research here, but let's just cover the first first six teams, the top six above that cut line, right?
Okay.
So the Rockets, six of their nine remaining games are against teams above 500. So. Okay. Which is interesting, right? I mean, you know, they played Utah tonight, and Utah, I don't know if they were winning or it was a close game. I think they ended up pulling it out. But the Rockets have been probably the hottest team in the NBA right now. They're they've gone 9-1 in their last 10. And I think even after winning tonight, they might be 10-0 in the last 10. They might have done a winning streak, but I'm not sure all that. But I know that they have won 9 of their last 10 games. So they're a hot team, man. They're probably the ones that are probably going to stay there at number two, because if you look at the Nuggets, they have eight games remaining. Five of those are against above 500 teams.
Correct.
And they have gone 5-5. I mean, they definitely sorely missed Jokic because Jokic had been hurt, right? And then he came back and then had like a 30-point triple-double again. This is what he does, man. But they rely heavily on him to be the man, right? But they're the big Achilles heel for the Warriors. You know, and there's even been talk maybe the Warriors are trying to avoid the Nuggets, which is why they're not playing as hard as they probably should. They shouldn't be playing that game if that's what they're really trying to do. But I don't think that's it. I think the teams have figured out how to maybe guard Jimmy Butler a little bit because he's been the X factor. But we'll get there when we get there. Lakers tonight, you know, they lost to the Bulls. So, but six of their nine remaining games are against above 500 teams, with two games with teams that are playing or vying for playing positioning, right? Again, with Portland and Dallas. Yep. So they have kind of a hard schedule, man. They have gone 4-6. So let me ask, out of the Rockets, Nuggets, Lakers, what do you see? Let me ask you that. Do you see the same kind of
– Well, the Rockets is the team that's been playing the most consistent ball. They've been winning at a high clip, like you mentioned. I think they are 9-1 in their last 10. Denver, Jokic has been in and out of the lineup. The point guard there has been kind of spotty.
Jamal Murray.
Yep, Jamal Murray. He's been kind of spotty with the Lakers. LeBron was out, then he's in, then he was out again. Doncic is still kind of familiarizing himself. He'll have like a super hot night one night and then kind of be a little frigid.
Austin Reeves has been a player, though, man.
Yeah, he has.
Big time. He's carried a bigger load than normal, and he's become – they have a three – player threat right now. They have a triple.
Yeah,
right now.
I honestly think you look at 3 through 8,
right?
And that could all be upside down in a week. Like,
oh yeah, like for sure,
yeah,
for sure.
Like 3 through 8 is just a mumbled mess.
And
at the bottom, you know, Phoenix keeps coming into the play-in, out of the play-in. You know, Dallas has managed to stabilized a little bit, and I think has Davis come back already?
He's played the last, I think, two games.
So he's been playing. Minnesota was on a hot streak for a minute, and then they've kind of cooled off a little, as have the Warriors. They've cooled off a little bit. The Warriors are really having trouble with larger, longer teams, which historically they've always had. Obviously, Curry's been out the last couple of games, and that makes a big difference. But yeah, I'm looking at, you know, from between Minnesota and Denver, like, That is all just right now, depending on who plays hot and who goes where. I will tell you that you don't – like, at least for some of the older teams, like Denver and the Lakers and the Warriors and the Clippers, they don't want to be in that play-in game.
No, for sure.
They just don't.
For sure. But, you know, the thing is that right now, if we look at the standings, the current standings right now, the Lakers and Memphis are only a game and a half behind the three.
None. Yep.
Right now, as it stands.
Correct.
Right now, then you got the Clippers and the Warriors. They're about four games behind the Denver Nuggets to be the third seed. I mean, correct. I don't think there's not enough games to catch up to Houston, even though Houston.
No, there's not.
Yeah, but there is a possibility if the Warriors kind of or any of these other teams kind of go on a winning streak right here, they can increase their chances to get as high as four. It's right there, right? They're only 2.5 games.
Correct.
The Warriors and the Clippers are only 2.5 games out of the fourth seed, right? So
Correct. And
the Lakers and Memphis have been kind of flailing lately, man.
Correct. Minnesota's only a half game behind the Clippers and the Warriors.
Correct. And yeah, right. Exactly. So I'm just saying, this is crazy. So it's really, you know, it's 7 and 8 seeds are pretty much established. I don't think Dallas has enough, nor the Sacramento Kings have enough games to catch up to get to the 8th seed. So it's really coming down to, you know, between 4 and 8, you know, 4 being the Lakers, Memphis, Clippers, Warriors, and Wolves. Those 5 teams have a legitimate shot of being in any of those spots, right? Any of them. So that's what's going to be interesting. I mean, this final, like, you know, 10 games or 11 games left, that's 10 games, actually. It's 10 games left for many teams. It's going to be a dogfight, man. And I got to tell you, man, this is must-see TV right now. Because
I agree.
Yeah, so what do you think?
And then you still have a battle between the 9, 10, and 11. Those three, any of those three could be in the top two, last two playoff spots.
Yeah.
Phoenix right now is half a game behind Sacramento and Dallas.
Right.
Phoenix was in the 10th spot as little as I think 2 days ago. So,
yep.
And then, I mean, I think Portland's pretty much out of it, but if for whatever reason they heat up, they could be in the mix as well.
Well, Blazers record, man. The remaining schedule, 3 of the next 9 games are against teams above 500. Okay.
Yeah. So they're probably
not that hard.
Yeah.
They're not as hard, right? They have 4 additional games with teams that are vying for playing, right? So they realistically have 7 of 9 that are kind of going to be a little harder, right? Spurs, you know, they have 6 out of 10 that are against above 500 teams with additional 3 teams fighting for playing. So that's 9 out of 10 games that are going to be kind of tough for them, right? Whereas, and the Suns probably have the worst. I mean, the Suns are about the same. They have 7 of 9 against above 500 teams right now. And with 2 additional teams fighting for playing, and you know they're going to have a tough spot. So right now, I think it's really coming down to the Blazers probably overtaking the Suns, and then the Kings. They're in a battle right now. I know that they were playing tonight. I don't know what the result was, but I know that they were in a battle, a dogfight. But 4, 5 of their 10 are above 500. Five of the remaining 10 games are above 500 teams with 3 additional against teams fighting for playing. So
yeah,
the
Kings are currently beating the Trailblazers by 12 points.
Okay.
So by 17. Sorry.
Okay, so they're sorry. Oh wow. Okay, so yeah. Blazers. I mean, they had a pretty favorable schedule, but now I mean, we shall see, man, what happens here. But
plus, yeah, and I know, just because obviously we're Warriors fans, we've said it many times. The Warriors play the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Denver Nuggets in these last.
Yep.
Set of games. So they play all 3 of those. So if, you know, depending on who wins though, that can upset a bunch of stuff as well.
Yeah, the Warriors have 5 of their last 10 against of above 500 teams. And then also they have 3 additional against teams that are vying for playing. So they have their work cut out for them right now, right? So that means
I haven't even broken down the tiebreakers, right?
There's no way. We haven't got to that point. But
yeah, I know the Clippers hold a tiebreaker over the Warriors. The Warriors hold a tiebreaker over the Timberwolves. But outside of that, I don't know what else. Like
that's it, man.
Yeah.
They don't have it against anybody else, maybe. Maybe the Rockets.
Yeah, but I, for example, the Lakers must hold a tiebreaker over the Grizzlies because they have the same record, but the Lakers are 4th right now, which tells me that the Lakers hold a tiebreaker over the Grizzlies. So that means the Grizzlies got to obviously be a game better than the Lakers in order to jump them.
Right, yeah. Man. So it's going to be interesting. You know, the last 2 weeks of the NBA regular season is going to be must see TV.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah,
for sure, man. So
and you know what's a trip, Eddie? Is you know, let me ask you a thing here.
Yeah.
When you first heard about the play-in game, what was your initial thoughts?
Like, you know, I honestly thought it was like, that's gimmicky. You know, then actually, I think it's been a really good addition. Yeah.
I agree.
I think they did this so that teams don't tank, right? And that was the primary reason why. and you know they get a reward of you know getting a playoff chance, right? Yeah. I think it's been a resounding success, honestly, so far.
No, I agree. It's been successful in one of two ways. The first way is if you're like an 11th or 12th seed, you're fighting to get into the playoffs. But the other wrinkle has been if you're in the 7th or 8th spot, you're fighting hard to get into the 6th spot so you don't have to play in that damn play-in game. So it's really kind of at two levels has really, you know, incentivized, you know, those squads, whoever's in that seeding.
Yep.
Yeah.
So before we end this segment, man, what do you think? Do you think that the Warriors will catch either Memphis? Do you think that they'll catch, you know, Memphis or, you know, who else was in front of them? Memphis or
the Clippers.
It's Lakers, Clippers. I mean, do you see the Warriors staying right where they're at? 6?
Are currently 7th.
They're 7 right now.
So I will tell you, so Houston's got too much of a cushion. But Denver's a veteran team. They'll turn it on. They know how to do it. Right. Obviously, the Lakers, LeBron, he knows how to do it. The Clippers have Harden and Kawhi. You know, Kawhi's starting to come back into his own. And they know what they need to do. I think I'm going to make a call here that I think that Memphis is going to be the one that drops to the 7th seed. And that Houston, Denver, Lakers, Clippers, and Warriors will be in the 6th along with Houston and Oklahoma.
As long as there's no major injuries, because you know
Curry. Oh, of course. Yeah, of course.
Curry had back issue, right?
Correct. Assuming Curry's back for the next game, assuming all of that, I think Memphis is the one that's most likely, just because, you know, I don't know if you saw, but they were like, I don't know if you saw Bain push one of his players, and they were like fighting internally. Did you see that?
No. Oh, no.
Yeah, they were like, he shoved him hard in his own teammate on the sidelines. And so there's a little bit of, I don't know what's going on there. You know, Zach Edey, who's been a big part of their team this year. You know, I'm a big believer of the rookie wall. You know, they haven't played this many games. You know,
Wells,
Edey, you know, those guys, I think that they're going to be impacted a little. So given all of that, I think that they're, I'm not saying they will drop, but if I had to bet money, I think they're the most likely candidate.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have a locker room disruption going on, I mean, that's, you know, it could go either way, right? For young teams, it's usually not a good thing. For a veteran team, it's not a big deal because it happens all the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, man. So, all right, man. So we covered the NBA playoffs. We're going to continue talking about this for, you know, throughout the playoffs. You know, that is pretty much the emphasis of our show is NBA. We do talk about other basketball, like the tournament, which we'll talk about in another segment. But we're going to continue the next segment, we talked about this Mount Rushmore topic, right?
Yep.
But this time we're going to go ahead and expand it, right? You know, what's interesting, bro, is that, you know, one of the buddies that I was talking to up in Reno, you know, he was saying, hey, man, you know, that Mount Rushmore topic was pretty cool. But, you know, maybe you should probably talk about some other topics, you know, pick some of the top four of other things. I'm like, that's kind of interesting, man. Thanks for giving that idea. So I want to give the props up to Hondro, if you're listening. Thanks for that tip, because that's what we did. We went ahead and expanded. And, you know, based on the likes, the views that we've had on the show that we had 2 weeks ago, we thought we would go ahead and continue this. And we might add other things later, right?
Well, you know what's interesting about this topic, Eddie, is I thought that, you know, the point guard, you know, because our previous Mount Rushmore was the best one, the best two, the best three, the best four, the best five.
Right.
And I think that for the most part, universally, we kind of all sort of agree on most of them. You know, I'd say on 75% of that.
Yeah.
This one, I really put some thought into this because there was a lot of, like, considerations, right? Yeah, there's kind of, like, their impact to a championship team. Then there's also the amount of times they got, you know, an award for it, if that was eligible, you know, and it was really, really interesting, you know, in regards to that dynamic. And so I feel, and we'll see if I'm right or wrong, but I think we're going to have a lot of differences
for sure
coming up here. And just to follow the trend, you've been a much stronger proponent of putting the younger generation, like the current players, into these lists. And I've been much more like, I've been picking players that have already close to ending their career or have ended their career, and not so much. I'm waiting and seeing what's happening to the youth. So I am really curious to see if you put any of the youth in these lists that we're going to talk about. I'm curious if you have those conversations.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into it, man. So why don't we do this? I'll start it off with the sixth man, and then you can go ahead and get
Well, let's do this. Here's what I want to do.
Okay.
Do you have honorable mentions?
I do. I'm doing this the exact same way that we've done for all
of them. So let's do this. You name your honorable mentions.
Yeah.
I'll name my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Then you'll go to your four, and then I'll go to my four, right? So we'll kind of let's go back and forth. That way we kind of leave the four, you know, for last, right? And if I happen to have one of your four in my honorable mentions or vice versa, don't say anything. Just go, okay, that's it.
Okay, so when I pick my four and then you pick your four, we still have to maybe, you know, decide. Or, you know, like
Correct. Case, right? Right now, just start with your honorable mentions.
Okay, let's just go ahead and do it. Okay.
Then I'll go with mine.
All right, so for Mount Rushmore, sixth man, right?
Correct.
Here are my candidates.
All right.
John Havlicek.
Okay.
Manu Ginobili.
Yes.
Vinny Microwave Johnson.
Yes.
Jamal Crawford. Sweet Lou Williams. Here's a new school guy, Jordan Clarkson, right?
Yep.
Kevin McHale, although he kind of played both. He became more of a off the bench guy, but he started too, right? But he's probably more known as a six man.
So are these all of your honorable mentions?
Yes.
Okay.
James Harden.
Okay.
Although he's kind of had a real small career as a sixth man. He's mainly a starter, right? But I just want to give him an honorable mention.
Yep.
Michael Cooper. Remember Michael Cooper, man?
Yes.
With the Lakers, right? With his knee, you know, like his knee-high, like white socks. Anyway.
Yep.
Andre Iguodala.
Yep.
Eddie Johnson. And then last but not least, the father of Wardell Stephen Curry, Del Curry.
Okay.
Those are my guys. So
all right.
My
honorable mentions. Let me fill in some guys that I didn't think I heard from you.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So you said Iguodala. You said Clark. Naz Reid was one that I had.
I did not. He's new school.
As an honorable mention, I had Naz Reid in there.
Okay.
Jason Terry, I had.
I did not. Yeah, you're right.
As an honorable mention.
Okay.
Tony Kukoc. Did you say him?
I did not.
So I had him as an honorable mention. Ricky Pierce.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about it, but I didn't
think
he had.
I had him as an honorable mention. And Detlef Schrempf.
Yeah, he was another guy. He's another guy I was thinking about putting on there.
Okay.
So, all right. So here are my final four.
Yep.
Okay. John Havlicek.
Okay.
And essentially the sixth man of the year award, I think, is named after him anyway. So the Manu Ginobili.
Yes.
Lou Williams.
Yes.
And Andre Iguodala.
Okay. So repeat your four.
Havlicek, Ginobili, yes. Lou Williams, Andre Iguodala.
Okay. My four.
Okay.
Lou Williams.
Yep.
Manu Ginobili.
Yep.
Kevin McHale.
Oh.
All right.
Uh-huh.
And Jamal Crawford.
Okay. You have to put John Havlicek up there, bro. You have to.
All right.
I mean, he's considered probably the best sixth man that we have seen.
All right.
He's number one on my list, man. And there's a reason. Because he is.
Right?
All right. So, Manu Ginobili, I completely agree with you. Lou Williams, I completely agree. It was between Lou Williams for me and Jamal Crawford. And the whole reason why I picked Lou Williams, because he has more points.
Yeah, okay.
So then
basically you're saying Havlicek for me has to replace McHale or Crawford.
Correct. You're probably going to go Crawford, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to go Crawford.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. You go. Yeah, that's what I would have done, too. Okay, so now it comes down to Iguodala versus McHale. Now, McHale has got more championships. Well, no, Iguodala's got four championships. McHale, I think, has three.
Correct.
All right. Now, as far as, you know, and McHale didn't have an MVP.
No,
under
Iguodala
did.
He didn't. That's true.
That's my argument. Why?
That is a fair argument, but I would say that, how would I put this? And maybe this is me just being too close to it. The MVP that Iguodala got.
Yeah.
Curry could have easily had that MVP.
He could have, but Iguodala had the harder assignment of guarding LeBron, man.
He did an outstanding job of guarding him. I agree. But McHale, to me, I don't want to say he was more impactful, but he was more critical to the team, I feel, than Iguodala was to the Warriors.
Okay, so let's say you got Larry Bird, you had Robert Parrish, you had Dennis Johnson, you had Danny Ainge. You probably had him come, you know, McHale being a bigger part, right?
By the way, a player that neither of us mentioned.
Yeah.
And was the sixth man for 1 year, and he did have he was a valuable part. I just do want to bring him up as you're saying his name is Bill Walton.
Yeah, he was also part of those teams.
Yeah.
So he did come off the bench in those teams.
When he came off, then McHale started, and that's where everything kind of rotated.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So your argument is that McHale was a bigger factor to that team. I would argue that Iguodala was as important as McHale and has one more championship and has an MVP that McHale does not.
See, I would – so here's what I would say. On that team, Curry was more valuable than Iguodala.
Yes. Yes.
Draymond was more valuable than Iguodala.
Yes.
Klay was more valuable than Iguodala.
Correct. So he's the fourth guy.
Correct. When I get to the Celtics –
yeah.
I would argue that McHale is the second most valuable guy on that team.
I would say Parrish was more valuable than him.
You see, I wouldn't. But I'll, even if I give you that, that still makes him third.
Yeah, it makes him third, right? We're cutting, you know, it's like that's...
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. We're going back and forth. But to me, I love Iggy. I don't get me wrong. I just think McHale was more impactful to the Celtics championship than Iggy was to ours. Now... the fact that Iggy decided to play the sixth man and gave up his starting job and all of that, I'm not going to get into it. That obviously had an impact. But I just think as a player, you know, and we could look this up. Like, let me ask you this.
Why don't we do this?
So I'll ask you this one question. Do you think Iguodala is going to make the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Guaranteed?
Yes.
Do you think he's a higher ranked player than McHale?
No. No, so I would say that McHale is probably more highly regarded because of the, you know, the lore of the Celtics, right?
Yeah,
the winningest. Well,
yeah, but he was a damn good low post player.
He was a damn good low post player. So hey, real quick, because we don't want to spend all the time.
You're right.
On this, why don't you go ahead and plug it into AI and see what it says? Who all is right. considered the better six man between right. Andre Iguodala right. and Kevin McHale? All right. So
right.
we'll go ahead and let that decide. And as you punch that in, the next topic we're going to talk about is the two-way player. Okay. Now, a two-way player is defined by a player that actually is good on offense and almost equally as good on defense. That's why they're called two-way players.
And correct.
They're renowned for both sides, not just an offensive specialist who doesn't play any defense, nor as a defense specialist who hardly has, you know, a very limited offensive game. These are two-way players, right? This is going to be interesting. So I bought some time. Did you plug in the number?
I'm going here. Let's see. Hold on. Here we go.
Figure it out.
It's spitting out some results.
Okay. So, all right. So let me.
Final verdict. Kevin McHale. McHale was simply more dominant as a sixth man and had a bigger offensive impact. Iguodala was great, but McHale was a force in his prime.
Okay.
That's what it says.
Okay. So we're going to go. We'll go with Kevin McHale.
All right, Kevin McHale. So we got Lou Williams, Manu Ginobili, Kevin McHale, and John Havlicek.
Correct.
Yep. Okay.
Right. So there we go, man. All right. So now let's go to the two-way. All right.
Okay.
Now I started the last segment. You give me your candidates for the two-way.
All right. So I am going to mention my honorable mentions, but I'm not going to name any of the ones I have in my form. Right.
Okay. You're doing it differently. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm only going to mention my honorable mentions.
Okay. Right.
Kevin Garnett.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Walt Frazier.
Yep.
Gary Payton. Okay. Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
Scottie Pippen.
Interesting. I didn't put him up there.
Okay. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, man, I forgot about him.
Klay Thompson.
Yep.
Jerry West.
Yep.
And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Those are my honorable mentions.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So,
any honorables that you have that I didn't?
Jimmy Butler.
Good call.
Did you say Hakeem?
No, not yet.
Okay. Did you say Tim Duncan?
No, well, again, remember, Eddie, I left out my top four.
No. Okay. David Robinson.
No, I did not mention David Robinson.
Did you mention Patrick Ewing?
No, neither of them are on my list.
Okay. So let me tell you a little interesting fun fact of the guys, right? Before I tell you who my guys were, all right? So I'm going to go ahead and give you all of my guys, whereas you're kind of omitting the guys that you didn't think, right? So
yep.
Let me just read off some of these things to you. This is really interesting, bro. All right. So starting from the bottom, I'm going to go David Robinson. He has been an all-time all-defensive team 8 times.
Yes.
Gary Payton, 9 yes. times.
Yes.
Patrick Ewing, 3 times.
Yes.
Kevin Garnett, 12 times.
Yes.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 11 times.
Yes.
Hakeem Olajuwon, 9 times.
Yep. You're talking all NBA first team?
All NBA defensive. Doesn't matter second.
So first, second, or third. Got it.
Doesn't matter, okay. Right? Doesn't matter. Yep. Just number of times that they've appeared, their names have appeared in all NBA defensive player,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Tim Duncan, 15, dude.
Yep.
That's yep. ridiculous.
I agree.
Jimmy Butler, 5 of them.
Yep.
Kawhi Leonard, 7 times.
Yep.
Kobe Bryant, 12 times, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Jordan is 9. Now, the reason why I wanted to tell you all that is because this is kind of how I figured out my Final Four.
Gotcha. Right?
I just kind of like my tiebreakers. Like, okay, who deserves to be up there, right?
So, yep.
Do you want to give you my four. First four?
I'll give you my four.
Okay, go ahead.
My four best way two-way players. Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Kobe Bryant.
Yep. They're my top two.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Interesting. Okay.
And Tim Duncan.
Okay, so I put Tim Duncan. I have Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan. Instead of Olajuwon, I put Kevin Garnett. And the reason being is because of the 12 times versus 9.
Yeah.
I was actually between those two. And you know how I feel about Hakeem, dude.
I know.
But I had to give it to Kevin, man.
But my argument there is that Hakeem.
He's more offensive. He's a better offensive all-around player.
He won a championship with the team that he had. And Kevin Garnett couldn't do that on the Wolves.
On the team that you're talking about, he had to go to a different team in order to win.
He had to get other players to sync up with.
Yeah, well, the Timberwolves weren't that very good, man.
I'm not arguing, but I mean, who did he play with in Houston that was so good when they won those championships?
You mean a team?
Yeah.
Like who was really good?
Yeah.
I mean, like really good. No one really good.
Exactly.
I mean,
they had
a bunch of role players.
Yeah, Kenny Smith.
Yeah.
You know,
Sam Cassell,
Vernon Maxwell.
Yeah.
I mean,
Sam Cassell.
Yeah, Sam, and he still won a championship.
Yeah. Okay, it's a good argument.
Yeah.
But I was in between those two players, bro.
Okay.
I was in between Kevin Garnett and Hakeem, and I don't want to become like fanboy to Hakeem because I have
no,
been
I know,
all of my career and all over this podcast too, right?
Neither did I. You know, one person that I thought about putting in there was Scottie Pippen instead,
yeah.
but I just thought it was too hard with both Jordan and Pippen. Like the fact that they're together kind of messes with the metrics. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like. You know,
so why don't we do this, bro? Go ahead and put it into, because you know that's how let's settle this view through AI, right?
Yep.
So go ahead and do the exact same thing. You know, who is considered the better two-way player between Kevin Garnett and Hakeem Olajuwon, and see what it says, right?
Yep, doing it now.
Right, so while you do that, the next Mount Rushmore is going to be coach. Okay. Now, you know, the coach is not going to be that. The list isn't as long, right? And we probably can't omit. The coaches that we have in our top four, we have to name them all, and then we kind of have to select from there, right? Because the list realistically is probably no more than 10 for you, right? Is it about the same?
Total list, yeah. There's about
it's about 10, right?
Yeah. So, by the way, ChatGPT, Olajuwon.
Okay, there it is, man. We're going.
ChatGPT loves Olajuwon, bro. That's all I'm gonna say.
If you picked a different one besides ChatGPT,
he has yet to lose. On the old ChatGPT.
He's a beast, dude. But anyway, all right. So the
all right,
teams
coaches.
You guys.
All right.
Okay. All right. So you go ahead and start with your candidates, and then I'll go.
I'll do mine.
Actually, I did. You did that last one first.
Yep,
I'll do this one.
Go ahead.
All right. So here we go. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the number of wins these coaches have plus the number of titles.
Okay. Okay.
So this is kind of all right. So here's my list. Okay, I'm going to go backwards, okay?
Okay, all right.
Steve Kerr, he has 558 wins. He has 4 championships. So the percentage of number of championships to games played is probably higher than anybody else. Okay,
yep.
he has that biggest percentage.
So right you're only qualifying players as a coach, not as – championships as a coach,
correct.
Not as a player. Okay, got
correct.
It. Okay.
Only as a coach.
Okay.
Okay? So Chuck Daly, 638 career wins, 2 titles.
Yep.
Okay, Chuck Daly of the Pistons, right?
Yep.
Steve Kerr of the Warriors. Don Nelson, the coach for the Milwaukee Bucks, the Warriors a couple of times, the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know if he's coaching anybody else. He probably did, but those are the main guys. He's got 1,335 career wins. He's the second only to Greg Popovich, which we'll go ahead and talk about later. But in those 1,335 career wins, he has zero titles. Okay?
Yep.
Lenny Wilkins, he's got 1,332 career wins. So he is slightly behind Don Nelson. So he's third all time. And then he only has one title. Okay? Yep. Next guy, Pat Riley, 1,210 career wins, five titles. Okay, for the Showtime Lakers head coach. All right, then I have three more on the list. Greg Popovich, the all-time leading wins coach leader, and he's got 1,388 wins and five titles to show for it. Then the last two, we have Red Auerbach, 938 career wins, nine titles. That's a pretty good percentage right there. That's better than actually Steve Kerr.
Yep.
Then probably the one that's even better is Phil Jackson. He has 1,151 wins, and he has got 11 titles. That's crazy, dude.
So
that's a crazy percentage.
Here's a funny fact. I haven't looked it up, but when you brought up Red Auerbach, right, and you said nine, that means Bill Russell has two.
Yes, as a coach.
Yes.
Player coach, as a player coach.
Correct. So he played two seasons and won two championships.
Yeah.
So as he's got coach. Correct. Yeah. He's undefeated.
Yeah, right. Two seasons and two. He's got the 1,000%, right?
May be a season in there where he didn't win one. So, I think he won two championships in three seasons. I think it's something like that. Anyway, right, I'm just obviously he's not in here, but I'm just throwing that out there because I think that's crazy.
All right, man. So let me ask you this. Did I miss anybody?
There's three guys that I didn't think I heard. Jack Ramsey, Dr. Jack Ramsey.
Yep.
He won one with Portland. Then there's Eric Spoelstra.
Yes.
He won a couple with Miami.
Correct.
And then I don't believe he has one, but he won a lot, which is Larry Brown. So I had Larry Brown in.
Was up there too, but my differentiation was a lot of wins and titles, right? And the only guy on my list that didn't have a title was Don Nelson, but he's the second winningest coach.
Correct.
So that's why I put him up there. But you covered the list, man. All right. So who's your final four?
My final four, Phil Jackson.
Yep.
Steve Kerr.
Oh.
Greg Popovich.
Yep.
And Red Auerbach.
Oh, dude. All right. So mine is Red Auerbach.
Yes.
Phil Jackson.
Yes.
Greg Popovich.
Yes.
Pat Riley.
Interesting.
So it comes down to Pat Riley versus Steve Kerr.
Correct. All right, I'm gonna start asking.
Try deep seek, dude, or try. I don't know some other one. I don't even know what the.
Have accounts or.
Yeah, I don't. It's just use your ChatGPT. It's gonna spit out Pat Riley, dude, just because he's been doing it longer, dude. He's got a bigger impact to the NBA than Steve Kerr does. Steve Kerr he's on his way to be in that realm, but he has to coach for at least another 8-9 years to get there.
Well, if they win one this year, he might bump him. But
they might bump him, right?
You're right. ChatGPT picked Pat Riley.
There it is, man. That's our final four. All right, so Mount Rushmore of coaches is Red Auerbach, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich, and Pat Riley. And to go ahead and review, we have two more categories. But for Mount Rushmore six man, we have John Havlicek, Manu Ginobili, Lou Williams, and Kevin McHale. Best two-way player. Mount Rushmore. We have Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. And we just finished the coast. Now we have two more, all right?
Eddie, you know what's crazy?
What's that?
Two of those guys are from the same draft.
For which one? For the two? For the two-way?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, it was Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember whether Tim Duncan and Kobe were in the same draft.
No, they weren't.
They weren't?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. I forgot who was the number one pick in Kobe's draft. I forgot who it was. But anyway, you know what's interesting is the 1984 draft, which is what Michael Jordan and Kim came from. That's why they consider the best draft of all time.
Yeah, that's a crazy draft.
That's a crazy draft. The Charles Barkley, John Stockton, it's crazy.
But you know who wasn't good? Sam Bowie.
Yeah, right. I'm sure he's going to appear on one of our other lists coming up, man. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about before we get, because the biggest disappointment is going to be a longer list, man. So let's just go into the best dunker of all time. All right. Okay. So the Mount Rushmore of dunkers. Yes. Right? Here. Okay. You pick your candidates first.
All right. I'm going to go. I'm just going to mention my honorable mentions.
Oh, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to omit the guys that you picked.
Yeah. And then I'll leave my final I think you'll be able to tell based on who I omit. But here's my honorable mentions. And I think your list is probably going to be longer. But I went. So here's what I did for this category, just so you know.
Okay.
I went with how they made me feel when they dunk. Like, me looking at them and, like, just the honest factor for me watching all of these people and when they dunked. Okay?
Right.
So,
right.
Here's my honorable mentions. Ready?
Yeah.
Jay Rich.
Yep.
Jay Rich is in there.
Yep.
Spud Webb is in there.
Interesting. I didn't put him in there.
Nate Robinson is in there.
I forgot about him. Good call.
Sean Kemp is in there.
I have him in there.
DeAndre Jordan is in my honorable
mentions. Interesting. I didn't put him in there.
Yes.
I didn't put him in there.
Michael Jordan is in my honorable mentions.
Interesting. He's not on your list. Okay. He's not on my list either.
So. Dwight Howard was in my honorable mentions.
Yeah, yeah. With the Superman, you know, the cape. That's pretty bloody.
Aaron Gordon was in my honorable mentions.
Oh, my God. You still omitted him? Woo!
Tracy McGrady was in my honorable mentions.
Yes.
Zion Williamson is in my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Daryl Dawkins is in my honorable mentions.
The original Chocolate Thunder who busted backwards. Yeah, yep.
And Shaquille O'Neal is in my honorable mentions.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's my list of honorable mentions. Do you have anyone in your honorable mentions that I left out?
Okay. Did you have Zach LaVine?
No.
Okay. Did you have Dominique Wilkins?
I do.
Okay. As your honorable mention?
No.
Okay. Larry Nance.
I did not have him in either one.
I didn't.
I thought Larry Nance's dunks were too, like, quiet.
Yeah, but he could jump, man. Anyway,
I understand. I'm just telling you, like, how they made me feel. Like, I needed a combination of power and style and, you know what I mean? And you know, like, I didn't have, like, Brent Berry who won a slam. Like, I just, like, he didn't do nothing for me. You know what I mean?
So, man, did you say Dr. J?
Not yet.
Okay. All right, man. I'll go ahead and give you my Mount Rushmore, and then you give me yours.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I have Vince Carter.
I do as well.
I can't believe you didn't put Aaron Gordon, bro.
I didn't.
Wow.
I knew this was going to be a point of contention.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe that. Zach LaVine. I put both of those guys in there.
Yeah, I did not.
That dunk contest that they had together was reminiscent of the Dominique Jordan ones. It was the closest thing, probably even better than theirs, honestly. That was ridiculous. You should watch that dunk contest.
No, I have some feedback on that, but finish your list because I'm going to say something.
My last list is Mac McClung, dude. I put him in there, dude. That dude was ridiculous.
You're crazy, bro.
He's three-time winner, dude, and he's a G-leaguer at best. But that dude is crazy.
You're freaking – all right, so let me see. You have Matt McClung, dude. Aaron Gordon.
Vince Carter and Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine and Vince Carter.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Here's my list. Vince Carter.
Yes.
Dominique Wilkins.
Okay. I considered him.
Dr. J.
I didn't consider him.
And Blake Griffin.
Close did I put him in there.
So I'm going to tell you why I feel mine are better than yours.
Okay. Okay.
Because yours only did it in dunk contests.
No, they could do it in games too, man.
Dude, not like my four guys.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon can. Aaron Gordon has.
If you go through dunk highlights of games, even between Blake Griffin and Aaron Gordon, dude, Blake Griffin is a beast, bro. A beast.
He is.
Vince Carter is like my George Washington, dude.
He was ridiculous.
He could do it as a dunk contest. He could do it in the game. He jumped over that Frenchman who was like 40 feet tall.
In the Olympics, yep. For sure.
And then you look at Dominique Wilkins. Dominique Wilkins, in my opinion, wasn't that great of a player. But, man, could he dunk.
Yeah, like, he was really good in game dunkers.
And being a little sentimental growing up, you know, I was a big Dr. J fan. He was just like, he represented the NBA, like this hole with the one hand. And he was one of the more smoother dunkers that I had on my list. But so to me, that's why when I look at Matt McClung can't even play in games. He can't even get in a game.
No, right? I know. But, dude, the things he does when he's
– No, I hear you. I hear you, but to me
– I think he's the best dunker we've ever seen.
But you got to see it in a game, dude. Like, you got to see it.
That wasn't my criteria. My criteria is best dunker. I could have said best dunker in the game. That would have been a different.
No, I hear you. But to me, that's what – I didn't say you set that criteria. You're right. You didn't say one way or the other.
I didn't, man.
But to me, you know, if I'm playing a game, like, I'd rather see Dominique than McClung. Like,
okay. Okay. Why don't you do this? Plug in a chat GPT. Give me the top five dunkers of all time. See what it says.
All right. Top five.
Top five dunkers of all time. Vince Carter will be there. I would argue that Zach LaVine would probably be there. Mac McClung will be there, bro.
All right, here we go.
Seems like, all right.
So number one, Vince Carter.
For sure.
Number two, Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Number three, Dominique Wilkins.
Okay.
Number four, Shaquille O'Neal.
No.
That's what I'm giving you. What it's
called. I know. Come on.
Number five, Dr. J. And then in the honorable mentions, there's LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Blake Griffin, Ja Morant, and then for some reason, a combination of Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine in the same bullet. I don't know what it said. Had the best dunk contest battle ever.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. And I'm not disagreeing with you there, but I'm saying that that makes it, to me, it's more than just a dunk contest.
Yeah, I know, but that's a showcase of a person's dunking skills. Because, I would put even that Stephon Castle, man, he's up there too, man, but he only had one.
Matt Klung wasn't in there, bro.
That's crazy. He should be in there because he's the best dunker we have ever seen in these things. He saved the dunk contest, dude, by himself. So
All right, so what are we doing here? So Vince Carter, we agree.
For sure. All right. Okay. Now you're going with like guys that are like, okay, I'll give you Dominique. But dude.
Okay, so Vince Carter, Dominique. So now we're down to Blake Griffin. All right, I'll tell you what. I will sacrifice Dr. J.
Yes. Because so I don't think he deserves to be on there.
Pick one of the ones that you have and replace Dr. J.
Okay, for me, I think Aaron Gordon is better than Dr. J from a dunking standpoint.
Okay. The one I'm pretty staunch about is Blake Griffin.
Okay, you're saying Blake Griffin over Mac McClung.
Okay, yeah.
That's craziness, dude. But anyway, all right.
Dude. Hey, I know we're not live, but audience, if you're watching this, someone support me, dude. There's no freaking way.
Dude, he's the best dunker we've ever seen. Even the commentators are saying it. He's by far, man.
Go look at some Blake Griffin highlights, bro. This dude was freaking, he was like disrespecting people. Like, get out of my way. Matt McClung can't even get in a warm-up jersey, dude.
Yeah, but give me this. Matt McClung is a better dunker than Nate Robinson. And a better dunker than Spud Webb, dude.
Yeah, I'm not denying that. I mean,
all right.
You know, I had them in my honorable mentions, but like to me, you know, people that like if I had to go like so Blake Griffin to me is like a Sean Kemp and a DeAndre Jordan style of dunker. I just think he's a better dunker than those two. Although Sean Kemp was vicious.
Yeah, he was just
vicious. And Michael Jordan was pretty good. You know, Zion Williamson to me is also a beast. Daryl Dawkins was a beast.
Yeah.
So I picked kind of the beast category. I said Blake Griffin is my beast, right? Then, like, Vince Carter is kind of like the mid-level, you know, talented guy. And then Dominique Wilkins is like a beast of his own, you know, in terms of
– He was a beast. In game, he would do the exact same thing as he does in the dunk contest.
Yeah, and you couldn't stop him.
No, I agree.
And I will tell you this, that my chat GPT had LeBron in there. There's no way in hell I would put LeBron in. Yeah. Because his dunk, it's like Karl Malone. Like, they were all the same kind of dunk.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't over anybody or through anybody, or it's just the same kind of dunk. And to me, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I can't dunk, but that's not.
And you know what's interesting is that, you know, before, you know, Vince Carter arrived, I think, you know, like, who was, for, yeah, it was Jason Richardson was before Vince Carter. Jason Richardson was legit, man. He was hella good. He was a really good dunker, man.
He was good.
And I thought for a while he was the best dunker. And then Vince Carter showed up. Aaron Gordon showed up. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. So our list is Vince Carter, Dominique Wilkins, Blake Griffin, and
Aaron Gordon.
All right.
All right. Cool. All right. Now we got our last one. And this is an interesting one. We are going to definitely have a lot of disagreements on this. Seriously. So this is our last one.
I kept this. I mean, for me, it was not my longest list, but I kept it somewhat small. Like, you know, I only have like 10 honorable mentions. Because right. I couldn't. Because this was going to go on forever, Eddie.
No, I know. So let me tell you, it is going to go on. So this is the next category that we picked. This is the last category. Is the Mount Rushmore of the biggest disappointments of all time?
Yes.
Now, you know, it's going to come down to draft position, where they were picked, and who was picked either before or more than likely after them is what we're really going to have to do. All right. So I'll go through mine.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. So what I did is I went through six draft classes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked these players based on who was picked after them. Okay. Now, out of these six, I'm picking only four. Okay. So it's going to be kind of easier.
Okay.
So here's what I did. Let me go ahead and go in order. Okay. Let me go in order. So 1984, widely regarded as probably the best draft class of all time. All right.
Yep.
Sam Bowie is my candidate for that draft class. And the reason being is because he was the second pick right after Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. But after him, it was Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins, Charles Barkley, John Stockton. Not necessarily in that order, but all of those guys, except for maybe Sam Perkins. I don't think Sam Perkins is a Hall of Famer. But everybody else on that list is, okay?
Yep.
So Sam Bowie was definitely entrenched as somebody who I consider the biggest disappointment, right? And, okay, next guy on the list, and I'm going in order of the year, was in 2001, Kwame Brown. He was the first pick. Then mm-hmm. after him was Tyson Chandler, Pau Gasol, Jason Richardson, Joe Johnson, Richard Jefferson, Zach Randolph, Tony Parker, Gilbert Arenas. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Next one, 2003, was Darko Milicic year. Okay? He was the second pick right after LeBron James being the first pick. Darko Milicic was picked second, then Carmelo Anthony, then Chris Bosh, then Dwayne Wade, Kirk Heinrich, who didn't really necessarily become like a great player, he was a decent player, David West, Leandro Barbosa, Zaza Pachulia, and Kyle Korver. Now,
yeah, I think some of those guys were second rounders.
They're all second rounders. Yeah, Zaza and Kyle Korver were second rounders. But, you know, the real big misses were Carmelo and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Those are the big misses, right?
Yep.
The other guys are more kind of role players, right? So I picked them as another candidate for biggest disappointment was Darko Milicic. Okay, the following one after that is in 2007, I have Greg Oden because he was the very first pick. But right after him was Kevin Garnett, Al Horford, Mike Conley, and Joakim Noah. Okay, now none of the only one that's really going to be a Hall of Famer is probably going to be Kevin Garnett in that draft class. Maybe Al Horford might squeak by. Conley, I don't think so because he hasn't won anything, right? But anyway,
Garnett. I think you meant Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. I did say Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me. All right. The next, there's only two more that I have. All right. In 2013, Anthony Bennett. He was the first pick. Then after him was Otto Porter, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, C.J. McCollum, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Dennis Schroeder. Can you imagine that C.J. McCollum was picked before Giannis, man? Anyway. All right. And then the last one is 2013. I have Markelle Fultz. He was the first pick. Then after him was Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, Lauri Markkanen, Malik Monk, Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo. Very good class, man. John Collins, Jarrett Allen, OG Anunoby, Kyle Kuzma, Derek White, Josh Hart, Isaiah Hartenstein, Dylan Brooks. I mean, that's a pretty good draft class right there, man.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So those are all of my guys, man. How'd you do? I'm sure I picked all of those guys. Some of those guys are probably.
So you picked everyone with the exception of one. I cheated. Okay. I did a sentimental pick just because I'm still bitter about it. But so I had a little bit of a different approach. Although I do agree that some of these players, there was significantly better players that could have been drafted. I went more along the lines around their draft position and the career they had.
Okay.
Right. So some of my honorable mentions, Hasheem Thabeet, right?
All right. I forgot.
You know, he was a bust, but he played a little. Like he was around for a little while.
Right.
You know, you mentioned Kwame Brown. Kwame Brown made a little career of himself. You know,
he did.
He was Yeah, Michael Olowokandi, right? The Candyman. He was a bust, but, you know, he played okay. Adam Morrison, you know, he was probably, he was my closest to, I don't know if he had much of a career. You know,
he didn't.
You know, Jay Williams, right? Not his own fault.
Yeah, he got in an accident, motorcycle.
He got into an accident, but a bust. Sam Bowie, you mentioned it. I put on there as well, James Wiseman, right? James Wiseman, second pick, hasn't done anything.
Yeah, he's been injured for most of it, man.
Correct. Markelle Fultz, right?
That's why I had him too.
Joe Barry Carroll. I put Joe Barry Carroll.
Oh, Joe Barry Carroll. He was a high pick.
But none of those people I just mentioned were on my biggest disappointment list, right? Do you want to do your four, or do you want me
I'll
to
do my four, my Mount Rushmore. And there's a reason why I did it the way I did it. It's because I looked at the quality of players that were drafted after him.
Correct.
Right?
And I looked at their careers.
I looked at it differently. You looked at their careers. I looked at the caliber of player that the organization missed out on for drafting that player who became the biggest disappointment on my list, right?
So let me ask you this, Eddie. Okay. Based on that, you know, like you didn't mention Johnny Flynn or or Rubio.
But he wasn't the number one pick. Blake Griffin was the number one pick. But yeah, you could put Johnny Flynn. Yeah, Johnny Flynn.
Anyway, so go ahead. And I didn't have Johnny Flynn on my list either. I'm just mentioning that because obviously look who was taken after him, right?
Actually, after him was freaking Ricky Rubio.
Yep, and who was
by
after
the
that?
Same organization? And then Steph Curry at number seven.
Yep.
Crazy.
They took two point guards. The Timberwolves took two point guards. They missed twice.
Crazy, man. That's crazy. Yeah.
All right, give me your
all right, so my Mount Rushmore of biggest disappointments is Sam Bowie. Okay, he's definitely the George Washington of that list, bro.
Okay.
Greg Oden, Darko Milicic, Markelle Fultz.
Those are your four.
Those are my four.
Okay. My four, same as you, Darko Milicic and Greg Oden. My two different are Anthony Bennett, right? And Chris Washburn.
Wow, dude, no way. You got to put Sam Bowie up there, bro.
But see, that's the problem. Sam Bowie had a career.
He didn't, though. He always got hurt.
He played a couple of years. Dude, Chris Washburn was all those guys.
Yeah, it's because he got a drug issue, dude.
Yeah, but all of those guys were pretty much out of the league within 3 years.
Sam Bowie was I think he played only 2 to 3 years max.
I gotta look this up now.
Yeah, but dude, I mean, the quality of players that were picked after him, that's why he's the biggest disappointment to me.
No, I agree. Like I said, he wasn't the way I picked it was based on
the career that they have.
Correct. So Sam Bowie played 5 years for the Trailblazers.
Okay.
Played 4 years for the Nets.
Okay.
And played 2 years to the Knicks. He had an 11-year career.
Okay.
So although I do agree with you, based on your criteria, yes, if we're talking about comparatively speaking, Sam Bowie, absolutely, because
he's the poster child, dude.
Correct, I agree. But I mean, Anthony Bennett played what, 2 years?
Yeah, he didn't play. He hardly played, man.
Greg Oden played what, a year?
Yeah, 2 years max.
Chris Washburn played what, like 2 years?
Yeah, max.
And Darko Milicic, I need to look him up, but like
he played, but he was in and out of the league, man. So
correct.
We
agree on Milicic and we agree on Oden. What we don't agree on is you have Sam Bowie and who?
Markelle Fultz.
See, I think Markelle Fultz, even he's still playing.
He's still playing.
So I'll give you Sam Bowie.
Okay. I'll give you Anthony Bennett.
Chris Washburn for Sam Bowie.
Chris Washburn for Sam Bowie, and then Anthony Bennett instead of Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, so we have a list of Anthony Bennett, Darko Milicic, Greg Oden, and Sam Bowie.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. All right, so I'm getting rid of my – I'm updating my list. All right, man, so there you have it. We finished.
By the way, real quick, Eddie, I misunderstood the assignment. Real quick, just because I did the homework and I want to just – I also listed the best defensive players ever.
So I didn't do that. Let's say that for another time because we're going to probably do this as another segment and we'll do other categories.
All right, then I'll keep quiet.
Yeah, just keep that one quiet because it's probably very similar to what we had in the two-way player.
It's pretty close with one notable exception.
Probably
yeah.
Dennis Rodman you probably put up there.
Yeah, very bad. What are you, reading my glasses?
Yeah, no, Dennis Rodman, probably Draymond Green up there too, man.
I didn't put Draymond, but
okay. All right. So let's go on to the brackets. All right. So last week we did a live bracket show, and it looks like it got cut off a little bit here, man. But what we have here is we did independent picks. So mine is at the very top, and then Twan's was after that. Now, I don't know if you can see that information pretty clearly, but mine right now is the top one. I have 400 points. Twan has 450 points. Twan is currently ranked at 8,756,000 place. I'm in 16.2 million ranked, okay? So Twan had a better bracket than I did. Now, the combined bracket was the very last one. That's the Cisco Correct. Kids bracket. That one did better than me, too, right?
Yep.
It's 420. So I'm in last place if you compare all these three brackets, right? But you can see here the final four. Now, what you see, what the red, what that means is they have been omitted, okay? So in mine, Iowa State is my final four. I had Iowa State, Florida, Duke, and Houston. Iowa State has been eliminated, so therefore they're in red font. And then, Twan, your final four is still intact.
Well, hold on, Eddie, but you have Michigan State on red on Cisco Kids, but not on mine.
Yeah, correct. You're right. It shouldn't be. I don't know why, but it should. I just forgot that. Michigan State is still in it. So, so St. John's is not, though.
So all four of mine are still in, baby.
Yeah, all four of yours are still in. And then Cisco Kids has three in. You have four in. Although I think Texas Tech is probably going to lose. They may have lost already. I know that they're playing tonight.
Yeah.
They're playing Arkansas, I think they were playing.
All right, we'll see.
We'll check it out. But anyway, so you're doing pretty good, man. So we shall see what happens here. By the end of this weekend, we'll find out. And then we're going to go ahead and show these again to see, you know, which bracket came out better. But, you know, you had mentioned that if our little Cisco Kids bracket worked, like we picked, like, the best player from each school to kind of determine the tiebreak, if that worked, dude, we let the rest of the world know our method. But right now, it's actually doing a little bit better than mine, but yours is still definitely better, man.
So Eddie, I got you. Texas Tech beat Arkansas by 2 points.
Oh, so your final four is still intact, man.
Still intact, baby.
Wow. Okay, so you have four, I have three, and the Cisco Kids has three. So we're still good. We'll find out tomorrow, man, because I think Michigan State, everybody else plays tomorrow. Florida did make it, by the way. So one of your guys, you need Florida to lose, man, because you have Florida. Neither the Cisco Kids. Cisco Kids isn't at Florida either, man. So anyway, so that's that segment, right? So now we're going to go to the final segment. And Twan, we're at an hour and 22 minutes. All right. So check this out. This is quick, bro, right? I mean, right now we have 10 games left. You can see the brackets. The brackets are pretty much set right now, right? But you can see right now, bro, I have pulled ahead of you, man. I mean, pulled ahead of you right now in the rankings, and it's primarily, you know, I mean, look how bad the West is, dude. I mean, there's zeros all over the place. There's goose eggs all over the place on that one. But we made up a lot of points on the East, and right now I outscored you by 4 points on each of those conference brackets. Right? Excuse me, all my lights went out, man. Okay, so I have right now an 8-point lead over you, bro. So 61-53.
Yeah, you're smoking.
There's a lot
of zeros in the West, dude.
Oh, dude, it's ugly, dude. It's ugly. So
I'm looking at us. We both had the Wolves second. You had the Suns third. I had the Mavs third. What a mess, bro.
It's a mess, man. It is a mess.
Dude, I had the Pelicans. The Pelicans aren't even going to make the playoffs, dude. I had them at 7.
Dude, I mean, it's ugly. Look at this. I mean, there is no one. Dude, there is nobody out there that – because we opened this up to a contest for everybody to do.
Yep.
And I guarantee you, if anybody posted their seedings in the beginning of the season – no one would even come close to the way it actually played out. No way.
I agree.
There is no way you can predict the West this year. The East is a little easier, right? Because we know that it's top heavy, right? But the West, dude, everybody was going, it's just all over the place. So, all right, so that's that one. Next one is the fantasy, rookie fantasy league. And let's see.
Yeah,
fantasy league. All right.
I don't want to see this one. That's why I didn't.
All right, bro. So you can see here, man, I'm the top one. Twan's the bottom one. The green in the middle, the green numbers in the middle is the delta between the two. What I wanted to show you here, forget the game by game breakdown. What I wanted to show you is the total points that were scored. Yep. Castle is like unbelievable. He's going to be the rookie of the year. 1,722 points as accumulated, right? And he's done this in two fewer games than Sarr, although Sarr missed some games because of injury. I don't think Castle's missed too many games, man. He's a pretty sturdy guy. But 1,627 points by Sarr, I mean, that's pretty impressive, man. Those two right there, I think, have been the best they're probably going to go 1 and 2, in my opinion, as far as the rookie class being, you know, the rookie of the year. It's good. Those are going to be 1 and 2. They're probably going to give some consideration to Jalen Wells because he's on a better team. They're probably going to give some consideration to Zach Edey, although Zach Edey didn't play enough games. Yeah. Your player, Reese Arshay, he actually had a decent season, all right? He just got overshadowed. Sarr was a better player than Reese Arshay, and that was kind of the debate as who was going to be the number one pick. A lot of people thought maybe Sarr should have been the guy. A lot of people picked Reese Arshay. But both of those guys actually had a pretty decent season. Yeah. I would say that they're probably not superstar caliber guys. I think they're probably rotational pieces. Although Sarr has the capability of probably being a little bit better than a rotational piece. But Castle's a starter. I mean, he's going to be a starter. Edey's a starter, right? Your guys, the guys that really messed you up on your team was Shepard, man. Shepard, he's got – look at all those goose eggs, dude. He's been hurt or didn't play, right? Yeah. Filipowski, though, bro. Your boy Filipowski has been playing, dude, all right?
Yeah, he might be the best second-round pick of the draft.
Yeah, I think so, because he was the second-round pick. My second-round pick was Jamal Shedd. So, and Jamal Shedd has 931 points. Filipowski has 1,154 points.
Yep.
Your second pick, Reed Shepard, is worse than my Cody Williams. Man.
No, that's, I know. He's just not playing. I mean, that was, you know, if you look at our rankings, I didn't have Houston being this good. If I'd have known Houston was going to be this good, I probably wouldn't have drafted him because, you know, he's probably not going to play. I didn't, you know, but like if you look, I mean, one thing I'm, you know, happy at, four of my five guys are in the 1,000-point range. So yes. That's at least something.
Yeah, whereas mine I only have three.
Yeah, but two of your three are almost in the 2,000. So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So So anyway, bro, I think this one's over, man. We probably don't have to probably put this up anymore because it's a done deal.
Yeah, just tell me where you want to eat, bro.
All right, bro. It's not going to be no Burger King. It's not going to be no McDonald's.
All right, all right. In and out it is, bro.
You're not going to be that either, bro. So anyway, so. All right, man. So there you have it. There's our show. So we went ahead and covered four topics this week. We did it in an hour and 26 minutes, which is a little bit overtime usually, but you know, this is how we've been doing it lately. So, we covered the NBA playoffs. We only have like 10 games left for each of the conferences. We covered all of the teams that we think are vying for position. Right now, most of the teams are determined in the East. It's just about playoff seedings. And in the West, it could be, you know, anywhere from, you know, the number three seed to the number, you know, 12th seed. They're all still alive, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the top 10 and in the East are pretty much, you know, they're pretty much settled right
now. Yeah, no, I think the top 10 are going to stay there. It's just a couple of places. A
couple seedings here and there in the East, right? But the West, is anything's going to happen in the next 10 games. It's going to be a wild ride. And then we went ahead and continued our Mount Rushmore topic. We went ahead and covered six-man, biggest disappointment, coach, best dunker, best two-way player. You know, we invite you to go ahead and give us some commentary. If we omitted anybody like completely that was obvious, please let us know. But we're going to probably continue that segment in future podcast episodes because I think a lot of people like that banter that we have on.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. It's good bar talk. It's good bar talk.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Then we went ahead and covered our brackets, right? It's going to end by, you know, the next show that we have next week. We're going to know how well our brackets really did, right? Because by the next show, I think it's going to be the championship game is going to be done by then as well. So,
I do want to provide a little preview, I think, a topic we should talk about next week.
Sure. Yeah.
LeBron, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, made a comment. Oh,
Stephen A. Smith thing?
No. I mean, we can talk about that, but that's not what he was talking about, how today's NBA player is so much better.
Than the past
because they're so much more athletic. You know, I'd like to get into that a little bit because I think that's a lot of BS. And I think I don't know how much NBA LeBron has watched.
Yeah.
But if you're going to tell me there's people that are more athletic than a young Charles Barkley or a Michael Jordan or a Dominique Wilkins or Larry Bird in his own way, right? Not as athletic, but and you know the thing that I want to just leave this at is. Arguably, the two best players in the NBA right now are the least athletic dudes in the league.
Yep.
Right? So I don't really know what LeBron was trying to say by saying athleticism. If you mean look good in your body, then sure. Yeah, all right, whatever. Right. But you know, athleticism has nothing to do with skill.
No, I hear you.
I mean, sorry. It does something. It has something to do with skill, but you can be non-athletic and be really good. So – anyway, maybe that's a little topic that I'd like to touch on.
All right. Well, maybe we can cover that next week, man. We'll talk about that next week, man. But this is the end of our show. This is episode 42. We are here every Wednesday, except for the last Wednesday because I had work conflict, but we're here every Wednesday typically live. And we're going to be here at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific next Wednesday. Join us, please. We're here live because we want to hear your commentary. You want to get your questions, your feedback. Definitely, you know, if you like our show, please give us a thumbs up. Again, this is episode 42 of the Buzzer Beaters brought to you by GremlinsMedia.com. You can find us at GremlinsMedia.com, also on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Pandora, X, you name it. You can find us on any podcast outlet. Just remember to find us by using Gremlins Media or Buzzer Beaters. We're also known as the Cisco Kids, but I don't think you can find us that way. But, you know, yeah. We're also known as the Cisco Kids because we're both from San Francisco. And, you know, for those San Franciscans, I'm representing here with Lincoln High School right here, right?
Nice.
Which is the school really close to where I went to school, St. Ignatius. And then, you know, Tuan, I went to Sacred Heart, which isn't that close to, you know, the school. But we're just representing. That's why we're called the Cisco Kids because we're both from San Francisco. So, anyway, again, this is episode 42. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral, and we're going to go ahead and sign off until next week. Have a good rest of the week, everyone.
All right, everyone.